Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. Imagine if you lived in a neighborhood with an HOA. You know what the HOAs are, like the neighborhood Nazis. And imagine you had a dispute with a bunch of your neighbors over something like they didn't like, I don't know, the beehive colonies that you put on your driveway that keep stinging your neighbors as they walk by, right? That maybe they would complain about that. Or the killer beehives you put out there. So they say we should have a meeting. We need to negotiate, you know, some way that we can live together in peace. And you say, okay, let's negotiate. And you say, let's all meet at Bob's house next door. And then when all the HOA neighbors of yours, when they gather in Bob's house, you detonate a bomb in Bob's house and blow it up. Say, that's how I negotiate, you know, screw all of you. That's what Israel just did, yet again. That's what Israel just did by bombing Qatar. Now, I know that some people pronounce that nation as Qatar. That never made sense to me. I think it's Qatar or some version of that. Anyway, I'm going to pronounce it Qatar. It just makes more sense to me. So, Israel bombs Qatar. They bombed a residential building where the negotiators, the so-called peace negotiators from Hamas, were supposed to meet with really the neutral third party, which was the Qatari representatives, you know, kind of the neutral people, because Qatar is supposed to be an ally of the United States. So they figured, let's meet on neutral ground. This will be safe, and the U.S. will provide, you know, security and air defense, because the U.S. military is protecting our skies like they are for many of the other Gulf states, Gulf state nations, you know, like Iraq and Kuwait, etc. Well, Israel just bombed it anyway. They bombed a residential building, and initially Israel claimed that we killed all the negotiators, yay! And then you saw all these people online celebrating it, which is completely insane, because no one who loves America should celebrate this at all. This was a horrible, horrible mistake for Trump to greenlight this, as has been reported. Trump greenlit the whole program. Trump had the U.S. military stand down so they did not intercept Israel's bombers or fighter jets with missiles. They did not intercept the missiles either. And then as a result, the bombing took place, and effectively, Israel and the United States broadcast a message to the world, which is, we are not willing to negotiate in good faith with anybody. In fact, if you even try to negotiate with us, we will murder the negotiators, and then we will claim that we want peace. So, you know, imagine, back to the HOA metaphor, imagine if you blew up all your neighbors and then said, but I want peace. They don't want peace. They're terrorists. That's why we had to blow them up. We're pretty sure there's tunnels underneath Bob's house, too. There's tunnels or a basement or something. We had to blow them up because we want peace and they don't want peace. That's the way Israel operates every single day. It's the same old tired playbook, and the whole world is very much sick of it. So now this is earning Israel the label of a terror state, as this attack is being condemned by most of the entire world. It's been condemned by China. It's been condemned by Russia. It's even been condemned by Keir Starmer, if you can believe that. And that guy is responsible for more terrorism and killing of innocent people than most humans that have ever lived. It's been condemned by France. And, of course, Qatar has also condemned it. The Qatari Prime Minister, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman Al Thani, I think that's his name, condemned the strike as an act of, quote, state terrorism. And he says that this surprise attack will not be overlooked and that Qatar reserves the right to respond to this blatant attack. And again, he said that this Israeli action was an act of state terrorism. Today, he said, we have reached a turning point for there to be a response from the entire region against such barbaric conduct. So you see, so far, most of the Arab states have just done nothing while Israel committed mass genocide. The near total destruction of Gaza, the bombing of hospitals and universities, residential apartment buildings, the mass slaughter of women and children, the shooting of doctors and food aid workers and striking them with missiles and killing them. Most of the Middle East stood by and said nothing, even the Arab states, which is astonishing, you know. Shiite or Sunni, either one, it didn't matter. They just stood down and did nothing, mostly because of pressure from the USA, by the way. But now there's a turning point. Now, apparently, Israel bombing a U.S. ally has gone too far. And you may recall that Qatar is the nation that gave Trump a $400 million luxury jumbo jet that I think is being converted into Air Force One. I mean, who just gives you a $400 million jet? Well, Qatar did. And then it wasn't much later that Qatar promised to invest $1.5 trillion into the United States. And Trump announced that with great fanfare. Oh, see, look, our allies are going to invest in America. We're going to make America great again with Qatari money. And then Trump greenlights Israel bombing Qatar. See, this just proves my point. The only thing more dangerous than being America's enemy is being America's ally. When you're America's ally, you get treated like dirt. Trump will demand that you basically pay tribute to Trump the king by pledging hundreds of billions of dollars or even more than $1 trillion. And then Trump will turn around and greenlight the bombing of your country. Trump will have the U.S. military stand down, which is exactly what happened. This is kind of like the 9/11 of Qatar. And Netanyahu, of course, is a lunatic, war criminal, madman. And Trump is just going along with him at every step, saying, yeah, but he's my pal. Whatever Netanyahu does is okay with us. We're America. You know, everybody else is just going to have to take it. Take it. You know, bend over and take it, Trump says, basically. So this is devastating to the reputation of America. This is going to cause even more of America's allies to choose to side with who? With China and Russia and BRICS nations. And it's going to cause an acceleration of the loss of support for Israel. And in my mind, it's becoming increasingly difficult to imagine how Israel survives this in the medium term here. It may take a few years, but Israel has destroyed its own reputation, its economy, its tourism, its credibility, its trust, so-called good faith. Everything. It's gone. It's wrecked beyond repair. But Trump is chasing all these countries away from the orbit of the United States. Now, here's the next news item that underscores this even more in an even more shocking way. Trump is going to demand that the EU impose 100% tariffs on India because India is buying oil from Russia. Now, you may notice that none of those countries mentioned are the United States of America. We mentioned the EU, which has a lot of member nations. We mentioned India, and we mentioned Russia, none of which are any of our damn business. But Trump, whose tariff policies are, let's face it, just economically insane. Trump tried to punish India with 50% tariffs, and India responded and told Trump to go pound sand. India basically said, we're just going to emphasize trade with Russia and China, and you know, you can't threaten us into not buying energy from Russia, because, hey, them's good hydrocarbons, or however the Indian people say that. Those are good hydrocarbons, you know, whatever, with the Punjabi accent or whatever. I'm not sure how that goes. I'm not trying to mock Indian people, but I do try to put in a little bit of character voice in the podcast from time to time. Okay, so we buy hydrocarbons from Russia. Okay, that's it. Because Russian hydrocarbons are good ones. They're the good hydrocarbons. That's the good carbon, apparently. No, I mean, it's clean and it's cheap, okay? Hydrocarbons are hydrocarbons. But Russia's hydrocarbons are cheap. I mean, they're not low quality. They're the same. It's the same molecule. They're just less expensive. And so if you want to power your economy, whether your economy is, let's say, northern China or India or any other nation in the region, you know, Mongolia coming up soon with the new pipeline, you want to power your economy at the lowest cost possible. So you want Russian hydrocarbons. And trust me, the hydrocarbons themselves, they don't know they're Russian. They don't even speak Russian. They're just molecules, okay? Molecules that power economies. So Trump thinks that it's his right to be able to tell the EU to punish India for buying hydrocarbons from Russia, even though the hydrocarbons don't even know they're Russian. Again, this is completely insane. But it's showing that Trump is really, really pushing the limit of leverage. He thinks that this is still the 1980s. He thinks that the USA can command the entire world, just do what we say. Do what we say or else. And so he has made this demand. Now, from India, the finance minister, Nirmala Sitharaman is his name, I hope, responded by calling the move, quote, unfair, unjustified, and unreasonable, stating that the reason India buys oil from Russia is because they need it for their domestic economy. And then, oh, also, I forgot to mention, Trump wants the EU to slap 100% tariffs on China also, because China buys energy from Russia. You know, them good Russian hydrocarbons. They also don't speak Chinese, but the Chinese people don't care. As long as they burn, they're good. So, again, Trump thinks he can run around the world and tell everybody who to tariff. Like, hey, country A, you tariff country B. And country B, you stop buying product C from country D, or else we're going to go back and punish country A, and we're going to bomb country E. And you're like, what? What? And you claim to be the peace president focused on fair trade? What? How do we sort this out? This is insane. I mean, some of Trump's people are so economically illiterate, I'm not even sure they can sing the ABCs. You know, A, B, C, D. They'd be like, what? Who do we tariff before we get to F? We tariff them all. F you. I mean, that's their answer. They can't even sing the alphabet. They don't even know how integers work. They think that you make friends by striking your friends in the knees with baseball bats. You know, it's the Tanya Harding approach to making friends and sharing your influence around the world. Yeah, you don't do what we say? Yeah, boot to the head, you know, that kind of thing. That's what Trump does. It's insane. I mean, think about it. India's got, what, 1.4 billion people? China's got 1.3 billion people or something like that. So right there, those are the two most populous nations in the world. China's got the largest industrial base in the world. India's got a very big industrial base also, and a very large agricultural sector, a very strong scientific sector, science research and medicine and chemistry and physics and all kinds of things. I mean, you do know that some of the most famous mathematicians and scientists in the world came out of India, right? I mean, even in our lab, we use an instrument that conducts something called Raman spectroscopy. Raman, or in English, Raman spectroscopy. Well, what country do you think Raman was from? The guy that it's named after. Yeah, it was Sir Chandrasekhara Venkata Raman. That's I think I got his name right. He's an Indian guy. He came up with this stuff, okay? And then we named the whole thing after him. So a lot of smart dudes in India. Well, the U.S. only has 330 plus million people. I mean, it's like one-fifth the size of India in terms of people. So why is it that Trump thinks he can run around the world barking orders at everybody else? Why? It's because of the dollar. Because the dollar has been the world reserve currency until now. No longer, but up to this point, it's made the U.S. incredibly arrogant. It's made U.S. leaders, you know, drill sergeants who just think they can run around the world. Do what we say or else we'll block your dollars. We'll block your banks. We'll block you from the SWIFT system. We'll freeze your transactions. We don't even care if your name is Rahman. We'll block it anyway. And that's the way the U.S. has operated. The problem is the world has changed. India is part of BRICS, the BRICS nations. India is the I in BRICS, of course, if you didn't know. The BRICS nations are already trading largely without using dollars. And now, with Trump angering the Gulf state nations, a lot of the Gulf states are going to be strongly moving away from the U.S. as well. They're like, that dude's crazy. Do you ever have a friend in high school who just liked to start fights all the time? You know, I knew a guy in high school. His name was Shane. Shane was a psycho. I don't know if he was abused by his dad or whatever, but Shane just wanted to fight everybody. You want to fight? You want to fight? You know, you had a kid like that in high school, right? Anyway, Shane, not only would he anger everybody because he tried to fight everybody, and eventually, I guess, if you fight enough times, you get decent at it. So he was somewhat formidable, you know, for a seventh grader or whatever. But also, like, nobody wants to be your friend because who wants to be around the guy that's always just starting fights with everybody? It's not a good social scene, you know? You know, and back in those days when I was in middle school, there wasn't any, like, known technique. We didn't have mixed martial arts or Brazilian jiu-jitsu. If you ask Shane, like, how is it that you fight? He would say something like, I just go animal, you know? Like, that would win. Like, the craziest guy wins, you know, just flailing fists all over the place. That, you know, middle school for you there. Meet you after school and fight you. Well, that's what Trump is now with economic policies. Trump has become Shane from my middle school, economically speaking. He's just throwing all kinds of economic policies. You want to fight? You want to fight India? You want to fight Japan? You want to fight? Gonna mess you up. Meet me after school on the playground. You know, that's Trump. That's Besant. That's Lutnick. You know, does Lutnick have any credibility remaining after he's been part of the negotiation in the Middle East? It's like, hey, all you people, come negotiate with us. We want peace. We want you to free the hostages. Yeah, here's the address. We're going to meet in this guy's house. Make sure you're there first because it's a surprise. And then they show up and you bomb it. And, you know, does Witkoff, that's the guy. Did I say his name correctly? Witkoff, he's the negotiator. Does he then say, oh, this is crazy. I'm out of here. I can't negotiate like this. Every time I invite people to negotiate, they get killed because the same thing happened with Iran. Does he leave? No. Does he leave in shame? No. Does he resign in disgust and denounce the insanity of the politics or the total lack of diplomacy of this? Like, yeah, let's just kill all the negotiators and then claim they don't want peace. No, he doesn't resign. He stays on and he keeps doing it, trying to find out who's the next sucker that's dumb enough to believe that the USA wants to negotiate. The USA doesn't want to negotiate. USA wants to kill you. I mean, how many times do you have to learn? I don't know. Just ask Shane. I think Shane grew up and became Netanyahu, actually. That's what happened. Is it Shamanyahu? Is that his name now? It should be. I know that guy. I went to school with that guy. He's a psycho. I mean, seriously, we should have tied that kid to the railroad tracks in the seventh grade, you know, and would have saved the whole world a lot of... That's a joke. Okay, a little bit of satire. Shane actually did die on the railroad tracks, it turns out. This is a true story. Shane died because he was riding an ATV on the railroad tracks while wearing headphones with very loud, I think, AC/DC music. And he got hit by a train from behind. So I guess Netanyahu's not Shane because Shane's gone for a long time now. But and I'm not making this up. I know you think, oh, Shane, big bad Shane got hit by a train. It sounds like a rhyme. No, I'm not making it up. This is what happens. This is kind of karma. And this is going to happen to Netanyahu. This is going to happen to Israel. Israel's going to get hit by a train. you know, cosmically speaking. I don't know what that train's going to be. Is it a nuclear train? Is it an economic train? Is it a global embargo train? I don't know. But Shane got flattened by a train, and Netanyahu is going to get stopped sooner or later, because the universe, you know, gives you back your insane karma in one form or another sooner or later, and usually in a form that you don't want. So, you know, that's coming. So Saudi Arabia has condemned the attack by Israel on Qatar. The UAE condemned it, warning of, quote, grave consequences resulting from the Israeli occupation's persistence in its criminal transgressions. The Turkish Foreign Ministry also condemned it, said that Israel does not aim for peace, but rather seeks to continue the war. Yeah, of course. And said that Israel's attack carried out in Qatar is a barbaric act of terrorism. So I've been calling Israel a terror state for a very long time. That's quite correct. And now most of the world sees Israel as a terror state. The chief of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, not that I'm a fan of the UN, don't get me wrong. The UN probably should be completely dismantled. We're not into UN Agenda 2030, depopulation, all that nonsense. But anyway, the UN did condemn the attack as a, quote, flagrant violation of the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Qatar. Iran condemned it, of course. Jordan, Syria, Pakistan also. None of those are surprising. The U.S. President Donald Trump reportedly blessed the attack on Qatar. That's according to U.S. and regional officials who spoke with Middle East Eye, saying that the U.S. was notified of the attack in advance. Also, well, obviously, because the U.S. had its, you know, air defense systems, they stood those down. And let's see. So all over social media, we are seeing attacks on Qatar to try to smear Qatar. And we're seeing celebrations of the bombing of Qatar by, you know, some pretty insane people. People that mostly work for Israel or who are paid by Israel, you know, etc., or are just apologists for Israel. But this is actually bad for Israel, and it's bad for the USA. And the whole world is speaking out against this. And I believe this is actually going to be a big turning point. This isn't just another bombing. And it's not, quote, just more children dying in Gaza. And I'm not trying to minimize that, because every child is a child of God, in my view. Every child's life counts. But the killing in Gaza has become, sadly, almost routine, to the point where the world ignores it. But now this bombing of another nation, the sixth nation that Israel has bombed in the last week, this seems to be the straw that breaks the camel's back, to use a popular idiom, which seems appropriate for the Middle East because of camels. So what's going to happen from here? Will there be more than just words of condemnation? Will there be actual efforts to economically cut off ties with Israel? And if Trump has come out and said now, after the fact, that he condemns this because there's been, you know, such an outpouring of global condemnation against Israel. So Trump had to say a few words, but they're very weak. He said that Israel's bombing inside, quote, a sovereign nation and close ally of the United States did not advance Israel or America's goals. Quote, I feel very badly about the location of the attack. I mean, he feels badly about the location of the attack? So he doesn't feel badly that Israel is a terror state. He doesn't feel badly that those were probably U.S.-made bombs that were used. He doesn't feel badly that the U.S. was involved and that Trump greenlit the whole operation and had the air defenses stand down. No. He feels bad about the location of the attack, not the attempt to murder negotiators. So this is just Trump making excuses for Israel, the terror state. Israel is a terrorist nation. And, you know, anybody who supports Israel is complicit in terrorism. It's very clear. And Trump said, quote, it was a decision made by Prime Minister Netanyahu. It was not a decision made by me. but he didn't deny approving the decision. He can claim, well, he didn't make the decision, but he also didn't veto it. He could have. Think about it. Right now, Trump could call up Netanyahu and say, that's it. You've crossed a red line. You've gone too far, finally. No more bombs for you. No more military intelligence for you. No more weapons of any kind. No more money for you. No more trade with you. We're cutting off everything to Israel. You're on your own. Good luck. Goodbye. Trump could do that tomorrow, but he won't. He's going to keep supporting Israel, a terror nation that just bombs anybody they want. They're completely lawless, engaged in widespread terrorism. And in doing this, Trump has made the United States of America complicit in terrorism. So basically, the USA has become an advocate of terrorism, of just lawless bombing and war crimes all over the Middle East. And that's going to be the legacy that Trump leaves behind after he leaves office one day, is that Trump turned America into the enemy of the world. And that will be Trump's legacy. Not making America great again, but collapsing America's economy, destroying the good faith that America once enjoyed in diplomacy with other countries, destroying America's currency, destroying America's international supply chains, destroying trade with other countries. Trump's legacy will be that he did to America in 2025 what America did to Japan in, was it 1942? What year was it when we embargoed Japan? The U.S. naval embargo? Yeah, Trump did that to us. He put the U.S. in an isolation tank by making sure that the entire world hates America because America treats every country, including its allies, as enemies to be punished. Trump thinks India is his whipping boy, you know? Trump thinks Japan is just a floating aircraft carrier near China and Russia. I mean, it's obviously Japan's not even floating. I mean, it's an island. It's not floating. Although there is a member of the United States Congress who thinks that islands float. Remember, who was it? Hank somebody thought that the island of Guam would tip over because there's too many U.S. soldiers on one side of it. He thought it would tip over. He said that on video before deepfakes. That was amazing. Dude, you think that Guam is an inflatable floating island? Yes. But Trump thinks Japan is like an inflatable U.S. aircraft carrier or something. It's nothing but a bunch of military bases to the U.S., and that India is just our whipping boy. You know, Trump wants to beat somebody, beat on India, you know? We're so far beyond the point of no return at this point. We've moved beyond the event horizon of sanity. We are in the black hole vortex where atomic molecules are ripped apart into their quarks and muons because of Trump. That's where he has put us, metaphorically speaking, in terms of the survivability of the United States of America. And that's why gold and silver are skyrocketing. And that's why the dollar's collapsing. And that's why Western nations can barely find anybody dumb enough to buy their treasury debt, including the United States and Japan and France and the UK and Germany, etc. Western civilization is imploding. It's a suicide cult run by lunatics. Trump is acting like a lunatic. And his friend, Shane, Mr. Netanyahu, is a total war criminal lunatic. And as long as Trump ties America to Netanyahu, America's toast. No one will want to do business with America. And I bet you Qatar is going to pull out that $1.5 trillion that they pledged. Like, no soup for you, you know, it's gone. Oh, what happened to the mullah? We took it back to Qatar. We're going to build an amusement park. We're going to build a snowboarding indoor arena with that $1.5 trillion in the middle of the desert. We're not going to give it to you, Trump, because you're a lunatic. All right, I've got a special report I recorded a few hours ago called The Bombing of Qatar Proves That the USA and Israel Can Never Be Trusted to Negotiate Anything in Good Faith. Let's go ahead and play that now. The bombing of Qatar. It's yet another incident that demonstrates to the world that the United States and Israel never act in good faith, that they are both, in fact, terror states that are lawless, that do anything they want without any consequences to Israel. I mean, think about it. They lured negotiators into residential buildings in Qatar with the promise that we were going to have a final negotiation, we're going to find a peace deal, we're going to find a way to have the hostages released, etc. And Trump even tweeted about it to help, you know, push the illusion that the United States was engaged in good faith negotiations with Hamas, which was never true. So they lured Hamas negotiators into Qatar, and then Israel bombed the building. And Israel claimed that it killed the negotiators. Other press reports then contradicted that and said they were not killed, but who knows? It's not clear. In any case, Israel intended to kill the negotiators, which is exactly what happened also in June when Trump was saying, oh, we're going to negotiate with Iran and we're going to have a peace deal. I'm the peace president. And then what happened? Well, the U.S. and Israel bombed Iran 2 days before the negotiation meeting, killing the negotiators. So when you as a nation or as an entity, a political entity, when you agree to negotiate with the United States of America, you have to understand that's a death sentence. The U.S. does not negotiate in good faith. The U.S. is not a good faith nation. Neither is Israel, obviously. When you try to negotiate with Israel or the United States, you get killed. That's how these nations operate now. So this clearly confirms Trump's inclusion in the, let's say, the club of war criminals. Netanyahu is like the head clown of the war criminal club. But Trump is a member. He's a card-carrying member, as is Keir Starmer and others who are complicit in the war crimes. And the thing is, there are ramifications for this. There are ramifications. And it's sickening that there are people in America who celebrate this, like the comedian Roseanne Barr. I saw her post. She was celebrating it. She thought it's great. You know, death to Hamas, no matter what. We'll bomb residential buildings. You know, we'll violate international law. We don't want peace, essentially, is what she was saying. Just bomb Hamas. You know, screw the hostages. It's awesome. I'm paraphrasing, but that's Roseanne Barr. And sadly, that kind of dark, twisted reaction to this is somewhat common among some Trump supporters, some Christians, etc. And they know not what they celebrate, it seems, because this is a very dangerous thing, a dangerous game, because it tells the world that there's no point negotiating with the United States on anything, because the U.S. never negotiates in good faith. And we've seen that again and again. We've seen it also with Russia and Ukraine. You know, we've seen it with Iran. We've seen it in previous negotiations involving Palestine or the PLO or whatever. The U.S. never negotiates in good faith. The U.S. is always deceiving people, always using negotiations as either a delay tactic to build up a military, as in Ukraine, or as a ruse to get negotiators into a building so they can bomb the building. So given that, why would any nation in the world ever negotiate with the United States on anything? You see, you can bet that China is watching, that Russia is watching, and they have reached the only obvious conclusion that you can reach, that there's no point in negotiating with the United States. That's why when the U.S. demands that Russia agree to a temporary ceasefire, you know, a 30-day ceasefire, Russia says, "Niet." No way. Why? Because the U.S. never agrees to anything in good faith. It's always a ploy. It's always deception. And why do you think countries around the world that have been U.S. allies, like, let's say, India or Taiwan, why do you think they are increasingly moving away from U.S. trade, especially India now, doing business more with Russia, more with China, more with other countries, like, you know, South Africa or Brazil, even Iran, etc.? Why? Because the U.S. can't be trusted as a trading partner. The U.S. can't be trusted as an ally. The U.S. never keeps its word. the U.S. does not negotiate in good faith. I mean, at one point, the U.S. was telling India to buy more oil from Russia. And then suddenly they flipped and they said, don't buy oil from Russia. And if you do, we're going to punish you with sanctions. You know, India is like, make up your mind. Why do you even have any right to tell us who we can buy oil from? You see? So if you're wondering why prices are going up at the grocery store, why is there inflation? This is why. Because the U.S. acts in bad faith. The U.S. is a terror nation. The U.S. cannot be trusted. The whole world sees it. And the world no longer wants to buy U.S. debt. The world no longer wants to conduct business with the U.S. For those reasons, that's why inflation is getting worse. The U.S. has to print more money to buy its own debt, causing more inflation. The supply chains are wrecked because of the tariffs that target these other countries. And basically, Trump is punishing the American people for his actions, which are complicit in war crimes and terrorism all over the world. But the U.S. consumer is paying the price at the grocery store or with health insurance costs or, you know, car insurance, home insurance, you name it. It's all going up because the U.S. is being abandoned or isolated economically by the rest of the world. And this trend is only going to accelerate. Why would anybody want to trade with the U.S.? Nobody. Nobody in their right mind would want to depend on the U.S. for trade. It's a suicide mission to do so. Nobody in their right mind would want to hold dollars, as dollars are losing a tremendous amount of value. They're becoming increasingly worthless as they plunge toward zero. Why would you hold dollars? You know, you wouldn't. This is why central banks around the world are buying gold. This is why people are buying gold, if they're well informed. Smart people don't hold dollars. Smart countries don't trade in dollars. And smart central banks don't stack dollars. They stack gold. And this trend is only going to continue. The U.S. will find itself increasingly economically isolated and geopolitically isolated as long as it continues to support Israel, which is a nation that has bombed six other countries in the last week. It's a nation that is engaged in genocidal crimes against humanity. It's a nation run by a lunatic madman war criminal named Netanyahu, who believes that he alone is above the law. And he believes that because he's part of this end times religious cult that thinks that Israel has to be destroyed for God to save the Jews or something. Like they have to burn down temples and sacrifice red cows and engage in all of this insane activity in order to be somehow embraced by God. They think they have to murder the Palestinian people in order to be embraced by God. And that's insane. And any Christians that believe that are also insane. You know, if there's Christians out there who think that by supporting the mass slaughter of Palestinians, the murder of women and children and doctors, and that if you think that when Christ returns out of the sky, flying out of the clouds on a white horse, like in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, I believe, that then Christ is going to embrace you and say, you have been a faithful and loyal servant by supporting genocide of God's children. If you think that's going to happen, yeah, you're insane. God condemns those who engage in slaughter and murder. God condemns them. He does not celebrate them. And he certainly does not save them. It's just astonishing to me how many Christians support genocide and think that Jesus is going to save them. Talk about delusional, you know, talk about actually being part of a satanic cult, a death cult. That's what that is, that belief system. A lot of Christian Zionists are actually followers of Satan. They're part of a satanic death cult. If they support Netanyahu, if they support Israel, if they support genocide, they are Satanists, period. There's no debate. Jesus would have condemned Israel's actions. He would have called them an affront to God. Jesus would condemn the Trump administration. He would condemn all those who promote war and who profit from war. He would condemn the vaccine industry and the pharmaceutical industry and the pesticide industry. You notice they didn't have vaccines and pesticides in the New Testament era of history, did they? No. Everything was organic back then. No wonder they lived longer, right? Jesus would condemn most of what Western civilization stands for today, which is mass murder and genocide and deception, weaponizing money, punishing your friends, you know, your allies like India, etc. Jesus would condemn all of that. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, then you can't simultaneously support Trump or Netanyahu, period. Trump and Netanyahu are following an anti-Christ agenda. And it's interesting that there are Christian pastors who claim to be ambassadors of God who support genocide. There are quite a number of them, very loudmouthed pastors, who defend genocide. And they, of course, will be rejected by God. When their book of life is reviewed, not only will God say, you were evil, you were complicit in supporting evil, but you did so in my name. Huh. That's a double dose of blasphemy right there, huh? You carried out evil and genocide in the name of Jesus and in the name of God the Creator? Well, there's a special level of hell for those pastors, probably. You know, it's like somehow that's worse than just being evil. Being evil in the name of Jesus is like double evil, you see? So instead, be good. Be a good person. Support humanity. Speak out against violence. Speak out against genocide. Call out Netanyahu. Call out Trump. Call out the war machine. Call out the suffering, the forced famine, the genocide that's being committed against these children in Gaza. Call it out, or don't even pretend to be a Christian. Don't even pretend to be a good person. Don't even pretend that Jesus is going to lift you up. Don't even pretend you're going to be included in the rapture if you believe that. If you support Israel, you will be rejected by Christ and God and the entire cosmos because you are an agent of evil and destruction and suffering. It's really that simple. This is not even debatable. It's abundantly clear. And history will show this. Israel is the modern-day Third Reich. Israel is carrying out a new Holocaust. And all those who went along with Israel will be named as Holocaust deniers. It's that bad. So call for peace, folks. Call for universal love and universal dignity for humanity. Bless and protect all children, regardless of their ethnicity or their religion or the country in which they were born or the language they speak or the color of their skin. All children are children of God, and all children are worthy of life and safety and fundamental human rights. Because if you can't find it in your heart to call for the protection of innocent children, you're going to have a rough time in the afterlife. It's as simple as that. And I pray for you. Pray that you come to your senses and speak out against the genocide while you're still living in this world, while you're still in the simulation. You want to win the simulation? You want to be rewarded after all this? Be a good person. Stop supporting evil and call out evil. Don't be a coward. Cowardice is a sin, according to the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. Cowardice is a sin. So is murder. So is deception. Those are the things that Israel and the Trump administration are heavily involved in right now. They're sinners. They are evil in the eyes of God. Now, they can change, possibly. But instead of waiting for them to change, you can change. We can change. We can do better. We can call out evil and we can support the innocent. And we can do that every day. And then we are seen as good faith people, good faith souls in the eyes of God. That's where you want to be when this simulation ends. Okay, so thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams of naturalnews.com, brighteon.com, and brighteon.ai, our AI engine that's also fully trained on the history of Israel since 1948 and the Nakba So check it out at brighteon.ai. Thank you for listening. Take care. All right. Hope you enjoyed that report. Now, there is other news that we need to cover as well. Let's see. RFK Jr. put out a very interesting video clip. I want to play that for you because he has he's been getting a lot of traction, it seems like, in terms of ferreting out the demons at the CDC. And the so-called MAHA Commission, which I don't believe is anything official or real. I mean, it's a group of people who put together, I guess, reports that make suggestions. Okay. It should be called the MAHA Suggestion Commission. But the MAHA Commission, which RFK Jr., I think he leads it. I'm not sure exactly. They have issued a bunch of recommendations about how to improve the health of Americans. And I mean, it's a little stronger than before. There's still a lot of focus on removing food dyes and things like that. But what was missing from the last time they put out a report was any real emphasis on vaccines. Well, RFK Jr., he's going after vaccines, or at least certain vaccine ingredients, as far as we can tell, like the aluminum and maybe others. So he put out the following video where he says that we're going to study vaccine injuries and we're going to report them, and we're not going to vilify people who are vaccine injured. That would be a welcome change, right? So I want you to hear this. It's about a 2-minute clip from RFK Jr. describing his intention, which I agree with. I think this is a very positive statement from RFK Jr., talking about what we're going to do to investigate and report on the dangers of vaccines, which, as you and I know, they are the primary cause of autism. So check out this video.
And because vaccines are not are the only medication or medical product that is exempt from pre-licensing safety testing, it's very important to have a post-licensing surveillance system where you're going to see the vaccine injuries. Under the current system, most of those vaccine injuries will remain invisible, and we will not be able to understand the risk profile of those products and do something about it. None of the people who reported injuries are ever followed up with. We're going to start following up and find out what kind of genetic vulnerabilities, what kind of other vulnerabilities they have. We are recasting the entire program so that vaccine injuries will be reported. They will be studied. And that individuals who suffer them will not be denied or marginalized or vilified or gaslighted. They will be welcome. And we will learn everything that we can about them so that we can improve the safety of these products.
So that's really important, what he just said there. I mean, so many things. One is that they're going to have surveillance of the injuries, the side effects of vaccines. They're going to follow up with people who report vaccine injuries. And somehow they're going to make sure those people aren't vilified and marginalized, which that's what usually happens to moms, especially when moms have their children vaccinated, and then suddenly they're autistic. And the same mom that was praised by her doctor a week ago, yeah, you're such a good mom for vaccinating your children. And then she says, oh, they're autistic now, right after the vaccine. Then the doctor says, oh, you're a crazy person. You're totally insane. No one should listen to you. And, you know, that mom will typically lose all her friends and, you know, social media standing and everything. You get vilified for acknowledging that the vaccine damaged your child, okay? And that's been going on for a long time. RFK Jr. says he's going to stop that. I'm not sure how. He's got obviously some kind of plan. I don't know what that plan looks like, but at least he's talking about this, and clearly he has some kind of idea about how to carry it out. So I suppose we'll have to wait and see how that works. But I think that if the truth comes out about the data, the injuries, the follow-ups, everything, they're going to show that vaccines should all be removed from the marketplace, that none of them actually save lives. None of them effectively work. And you know why that is? Because virology is a fraud. There's no such thing as a contagion in the form of a virus. It doesn't exist. It's all been made up. Now, there are bacteria, there are bacterial infections that happen. There, you know, mold and fungi are real. You can see them. You can see them under a microscope. You can see bacteria. You can see a bacteria cell or an algal cell, you know, algae. They're living. You know, there's a cell wall. There's the cell nucleus. You can stain them. You can see, oh, there's the, you know, the mitochondria and whatever, all the different micro structures inside the cell. You can see that. And you can grow a bunch of bacteria cells, and then you can actually see them all. They're all the same. It's a bunch of bacteria. Here it is. Here's a pile of dried bacteria. You can see it. You can't do that with a virus because they don't exist. That's why they can't isolate them. They've never isolated an infectious virus. It's never been isolated, never been replicated and put in a pile where you can look at it under a microscope and say, aha, look, here's the virus. Every virus that you see in the media, it's a 3D rendering or, you know, an illustration. None of them are real because they don't actually exist as a contagion. What they're looking at are just, you know, protein fragments of dead cell membranes. That's what they're looking at. And they call it a virus. And that's why they say, well, the virus made you sick. No, you got sick from something else, possibly exposure to toxins, and then a bunch of your cells died. And when your cells died, they produced these fragments that then get called the virus. So yeah, your body's trying to detox from all these dead cells and all these protein fragments. Modern medicine comes along and says, well, that's the virus that made you sick. No, it isn't. That's your body taking out the trash. You know, it's your body taking out the trash. But you see, the entire narrative of virology is necessary for the massive vaccine fraud that is operated as a human depopulation program to achieve, ultimately, extermination, but in the interim, to achieve massive profits for Big Pharma. They want to make as much money off of you as they can while you are being killed by the vaccines, but ultimately they want you dead. They just don't want you to die until they can extract most of your money through so-called experimental treatments for cancer or whatever, even though their jabs gave you the turbo cancer, you see. So it's an extraction and kill program. It's like extract all their money, kill them off. That's what vaccines are. Now, vaccines are clever, though, in the sense that people are convinced that they're very good. Some people are. They think that vaccines are like they're doing something good for themselves. People take vaccine shots in the same kind of optimism that a nutritionist might have when they take vitamin C capsules. It's like, hey, I just took vitamin C. I did something good for myself. Well, these, you know, vaccine puppets, brainwashed people, they take a jab and they feel good. Oh my God, I just did something good for myself. I'm such a good person. I'm so responsible. Just took more jabs. And they celebrate. That's why they post it all over social media. Look, I took some jabs. I got a Band-Aid on my shoulder. You know? And that's why the politicians pretend to be taking jabs, even though most of them don't even have needles. But, you know, they want it on TV to show you how you are supposed to take the jab. And this is all part of the deception to trick people into self-extermination. So remember, they want you to die. They give you methods for you to choose to die. Basically, it's medically assisted suicide. That's what vaccines are. Remember Dr. Kevorkian? He was known as Dr. Death. And he had built a euthanasia machine. This is back in the 1980s or something? Dr. Kevorkian, Jack Kevorkian. And I think, didn't they criminally prosecute him at some point? Anyway, he believed in a dignified death, which I can understand certain parts of the argument if it involves people who are in intense chronic pain and there's no hope of survival and they just want to end it. You know, I'm not supporting it, don't get me wrong, but I can understand that there's some thread to that argument, right? So he was saying, we just want to give people the ability to kill themselves with dignity. So he built the death machine. And the death machine, all you do is it's got death chemicals in it, and then they put an IV in your arm, And then there's a button on a giant button on the death machine, you know, essentially a giant button. And you, the patient, you press it. And so as he said, the doctor, he said, well, I'm not killing the patient. They're the one pressing the button. They are choosing to press the button. And there's all kinds of legal documents that go with it, et cetera, where that person knows that they are choosing to die, okay? So at least with Dr. Kevorkian, you could argue that it's informed consent. I mean, the patient wants to die. The patient signed the document. The patient is of sound mind. The patient's like, I just don't want to live anymore. You know, it's too painful. Chronic pain can be hell on earth, right? So the patient's like, I'm going to die, and I choose to die. I'm pressing the button. Boom. And then the chemicals go in their arm, and then it's lights out. Okay. But that's informed consent. Vaccines are the same thing without consent, where it's like, you're going to die. You just didn't choose it. You know, you're going to die suddenly. Surprise. Medical surprise for you. It's like opening a box of Cracker Jacks, and there's a little prize inside. But you open the box for the vaccine. The insert sheet is blank. So that's not the prize. What's the surprise? Oh, instant death for some people. Yeah, there we go. Surprise. So that's the system today. It's uninformed mass death. So you could argue that Dr. Kevorkian had higher integrity than the vaccine industry and the CDC. Obviously. At least Dr. Kevorkian was only trying to kill people who wanted to die. The CDC is trying to kill people who want to live, you know, like children. But of course, the CDC is run by demons, like actual demons who have like satanic tattoos on their chest, all kinds of weird perverts, ritualistic child murderers, you know, the spiritual molesting of children. That's the CDC. And some of those people have already been fired. You know, good riddance. Get them out of there. It lowered the demon score of the CDC just slightly. The CDC still has a high demon score. In fact, the CDC stands for the Centers for Demon Creation. they make demons, and they kill children. But in all of this, censorship is the method by which people are tricked into this sort of medical-assisted suicide, which is vaccines. So if you take jabs, and sadly, by the way, those who died from the jabs aren't here anymore to tell us, oh my God, we were right, because they're dead. And what the CDC knows is that dead patients don't talk. Dead people don't testify against the vaccine industry. Ha ha, yeah. That there's a clever one for the attorneys, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, if we just have a product that just, you know, kills them, there's no way they can testify. We'll get away with it. And then let's have Congress pass a law that gives us legal immunity anyway. And then let's have the FDA give us total legal immunity. Let's have a whole new thing, emergency use authorization and the PrEP Act. So there's like nobody can sue us ever, dead or alive. They'll just kill everybody and say that they died from COVID. Well, it's freaking brilliant. Well, that's what the CDC and the FDA did this entire time. Okay. But the way they were able to get away with it was because of censorship and narrative control that tricks people into self-extermination. And so that's the topic of my next special report to share with you here, which I recorded a few hours ago. It's about how censorship is used to trick you into self-extermination to further the anti-human depopulation agenda, you know, to make way for the rise of the machines. Oh, yeah. It's also a planetary IQ test to see who's dumb enough to believe that vaccines make you healthy. It's like Darwin Award time on a large scale. You know what I mean? So we're going to jump into that special report in a second. Let me thank you for your support and ask you to continue to support us at healthrangerstore.com. And we have a really cool new, should I mention this today? Yeah, I'm going to mention it. What the heck? I was told not to mention it until they get more inventory. But I interviewed a guy today, such an amazing interview, 2 hours interview with a man who's the founder of a company called Ser Todo, which is a Spanish pronunciation. The company makes these incredible handcrafted artisan pieces of copper dishware, like copper water pitchers and copper mugs and bowls and plates, and they're beautiful. They look like they belong in a museum. And we're an affiliate partner with this company because we love their products, which are pure copper. It's all recycled copper. None of it's mined. And they make beautiful pieces. And you can find them, the whole collection, at healthrangerstore.com/copper. Okay? You'll see what I'm talking about. Now, I don't want to spill the beans too much because he and I had a two-hour conversation. And we got into, well, his education is in Latin American studies. And since I lived in South America and I've been through many countries in Central and South America, we had so much to talk about the history of craftsmanship, the history of precious metals, copper, silver, and gold, and the use of metals in cultural artwork, and also how human artisans can never really be replaced by robot factories, because there's a quality of the human touch of functional pieces of art. I mean, these are, one of them is a giant Berkey-style water filter, but it's made out of pure copper, and it's beautiful. It looks like a museum piece, I'm telling you. But, you know, a robot factory can't churn out human artifacts like this. These are one of a kind. And they're not really that expensive considering what goes into them. Anyway, I'm going to play that interview for you next week. And I was told not to mention it yet because of possibly a lack of inventory. I don't know. But I'm kind of excited about that interview. So I'm going to mention it anyway. healthrangerstore.com/copper. And there's another shortcut to a company that makes the certified organic cotton bed sheets and towels, luxury towels of all kinds. And that's called Delilah Home. And I interviewed the founder of that company a couple of weeks ago. You can find their products on our store at healthrangerstore.com/bath, B-A-T-H. healthrangerstore.com/bath. If you want these incredibly luxurious towels, I'm talking about towels that cost twice as much in high-end luxury department stores. They cost twice as much. It's the exact same towel. They're made in Portugal using organic cotton grown in either Turkey or India. Two countries that Trump is pissing off every day. Anyway, has Trump done something bad to Portugal yet? I'm wondering. Maybe Portugal's on the exemption list for now. Anyway, no, they're part of the EU, so they get tariffed. What am I thinking? Portugal's being punished too. Portugal, no soup for you. Get organic towels at healthrangerstore.com/bath and get the incredible copper pieces at healthrangerstore.com/copper. Very cool stuff. Or you could just shop for nutrition and superfoods with us, and we've got a lot of very popular products, and I'm afraid to mention any of them because then they're immediately out of stock and I can't get them. Like, I failed to buy our freeze-dried organic cherries in the number 10 cans, and we still don't have cherries back in stock, I don't think. That's my fault. Oh, let me check here. Yeah, they're sold out. Jeez. Supply chains are not good. Even it's so funny because very often I want to get a product from my own store and it's gone. So if you feel that, you know, if that's your experience, I'm right there with you, cuz I look, I don't get to walk around my warehouse and just take stuff. I got to go through the store just like you. I mean, yeah, I have a special discount code, gives me more of a discount, which kind of makes sense as it's my store. But I got to go through the store, and it's frustrating for me too. We're doing the best we can, so thank you for your support. Trump's tariffs are making it extremely difficult, honestly. Many of our products come from countries like Portugal or India, which is where most turmeric comes from, or goji berries come out of China, for example, you know, the Himalayan regions, etc. So, and like our vitamin C, our non-GMO vitamin C comes out of the United Kingdom. hasn't yet been banned by Keir Starmer, but maybe that's coming soon. We'll find out. Anyway, shop with us at healthrangerstore.com. And for your preparedness, consider our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com, for whenever you need sat phones and backup communications. Okay, with that said, we're going to jump into our special report today. And I think that's it. I don't think I've got an interview for you today. I've got some interviews that are lined up, and I've also got a really cool surprise for you coming soon. If you speak Spanish, Chinese, or Russian, that's all I'm going to say. We got a surprise for you. It's going to be loads of fun. Can't wait for that. All right. Enjoy the rest of the show today, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. I saw an interview of a former CIA operative lamenting the fact that AI is allowing people to bypass central control over information. And this CIA operative said that it's very unfortunate that AI can spread disinformation. Now, what is disinformation? That's anything the CIA doesn't control, right? So it doesn't matter if it's true or not. If it's not controlled by the central authorities, it's labeled disinformation or misinformation. And all these new laws in Europe and in Australia and New Zealand that are all about censoring speech, you have to shut everything down that we don't control. It's not about ending misinformation. It's about maintaining control over every narrative. They can't allow freedom of speech because when they roll out the big robot extermination agenda or the next pandemic or World War III or the next false flag attack, they need to be able to control the narrative, you know, to keep everybody in line. That's what it's all about. It's controlling the narratives. And that's why anybody who tells the truth is so heavily censored and deplatformed and smeared and attacked by the establishment. And that's also why it's critical to use the platforms that are decentralized, alternative media, or our platforms like Brighteon.ai, our AI engine that is not censored at all, or Brighteon.com, our video site, or Brighteon.social. Use these sites to bypass central control. That's the only way you'll ever be free. Because it's very, very clear what they're doing now. It's very clear. They're clamping down on freedom while they are ramping up the mass extermination of humanity. Now, in order to kill off humans effectively, the globalists have to make sure that humans don't fight back. If they meet resistance, well, that's a problem for them. So they need to do it covertly. They need to convince you to kill yourself off, in effect. How do they do that? Well, vaccines, depopulation, bioweapons, pesticides, chemtrails, destruction of the family, you know, LGBT lifestyles, mutilation of the genitalia of children to make sure they can't reproduce, etc. So it's about depopulation through multiple vectors, killing people off, causing infertility, promoting abortion, etc. But they need to make sure that you think it's your decision, that you think you are empowered. It's your choice. You hear these women celebrating their abortion. It's my choice. My body, my choice. I got an abortion and I love it. I got 17 abortions, you know, whatever. They're bragging about it online. It's sick. But they've been tricked into thinking that murdering their own children is an expression of personal liberty. Isn't that amazing? Same thing right now. You see a lot of people on social media posting videos mocking RFK Jr. by going out and getting multiple vaccine jabs all at once, doing it on camera, and then basically saying, F you, RFK, I just got a bunch of vaccines. See? You see how clever that is in terms of actually convincing people to kill themselves? Make it seem like empowerment. Make it seem like, oh, you're strong. You're a strong woman. You're rising up against RFK's tyranny. That's right. You go, girl. You go get more jabs. You take 20 jabs. Take 100 jabs. Yeah, all more power to you, girl. Like, that's the attitude. And, of course, it's completely insane. But I mean, guess what? The globalists are running very clever depopulation agendas that try to convince you to kill yourself. So you might have the question, well, what else can they do to convince people to kill themselves off? Well, another one is the old let's merge with the machines agenda, or transhumanism. They're going to make life on Earth so painful, so expensive, so difficult that they're going to then offer people to upload your mind to a machine. And they're going to try to convince you that that's the new you, that you've been copied to a machine. And now you can live cheaply. You don't have to pay rent. You don't have to buy groceries. You don't have to take a shower, because now you're living in your digital version of yourself is what's living in the machine, and you can live forever. You will achieve immortality, they'll say. All you got to do is line up for this procedure. What's the procedure? Well, you know, we scan your brain, then we kill you, basically. And people will line up for that. That's the thing. It's another trick to trick you into self-extermination. Remember, the agenda is global depopulation, but they can't have people fighting back. So they can't force you at gunpoint to line up and, you know, stick yourself in a gas chamber or stick your head in a guillotine or something like that. What they have to trick you into it. Oh, here, you're going to live forever. And the word for all this is seduction. So people will be seduced into these decisions of self-destruction because they'll be offered something in return. Oh, you'll get immortality if you just, you know, agree to this procedure that ends your biological life but makes you live forever. Or here, take this vaccine. They'll say you need the vaccine so that you don't die. But in reality, the vaccine is to make sure that you do die. All on purpose, obviously. Or they'll say, oh, here, you need this prescription medication for your brain to work correctly. Yeah, because your brain chemistry is all whacked. You need this drug. And then they don't tell you, oh, that drug also causes suicidal thoughts, ideation, violence, early deaths, etc. You see, it's always a trick. So they hold out a carrot and they try to seduce you into something that will end your life. It's all part of the depopulation agenda. So think about also the push to eat crickets. This is the same thing. They want you to eat crickets, but not eat beef, because beef is actually nourishing, and saturated animal fats actually have a very important nutritional role to play in human health in moderation, you know, in balance. Of course, you need lots of fresh fruits and vegetables and superfoods, etc., but a certain amount of beef actually is nourishing to the body, provides energy, provides protein and saturated fats, etc., and also iron, you know, and other things. So they want to convince you to eat crickets. But they'll give you an excuse, an incentive. Say, oh, well, it's saving the earth. We have to save the earth from cow farts. So that's why you need to eat more crickets. But if you subsist on crickets, you're going to be malnourished. You'll die from malnourishment eventually if you don't balance your diet in other ways. And again, that's all part of the depopulation agenda. And if you're going to have children, if you're a woman and you're living on cricket protein, you're also getting all the cricket chitin, which is interfering with the absorption of other critical nutrients, including fat-soluble vitamins that are necessary for, you know, the health of your unborn child. Things like vitamin E, for example, and other fat-soluble carotenoids. So you're going to be totally deficient. You're going to have sickly mutant babies who are probably incapable of reproducing themselves. And that's all by design. Here, eat crickets. It's good for the planet. Actually, it's good for depopulation. You see? Every one of these agendas has the same end goal, and that's extermination of human populations. But they're all packaged as seductive benefits to try to appeal to your good nature or your self-survival tendencies. But it's all deception. You are living in a world of mass deception and delusion, and it's a world with an anti-human, anti-Christ agenda. And you may have fallen for some of these yourself. I know that over the years, I have initially fallen for some of these agendas as well. And then only later did I come to realize, although this process has become more rapid, I'm much better at detecting the fake agendas now than before. But, you know, eventually I would realize, wait a second, this whole thing is false. You know, like climate change. You know, at first, the climate change agenda sounds really great. It's like, oh, we want to be good people. You know, Al Gore was out there giving speeches. This is, you know, 20 plus years ago. Giving speeches, oh, humanity's bad for the planet. We've been producing too much carbon, and the carbon is going to cause the greenhouse effect. And then the whole world's going to heat up. And he said by the year 2010, we'll all be underwater, you know, or certain areas will be underwater. It was all a lie, obviously. By the year 2010, all the ice caps will melt. Total lie. Didn't happen. But it was compelling, and it appealed to your good nature. You're like, I want to be a good person. I'm a good person. I want to help the planet. You know, I don't want to do something bad for the planet because I'm a good person. So it was this identity, like self-identifying as a good person, that was the seduction. Well, if you're a good person, then you're going to oppose human populations and the human use of energy, and you're going to oppose fossil fuels because they produce carbon. Yeah, it turns out they don't actually produce any carbon at all. The carbon's already there. They just recirculate it. You could call it carbon recycling, actually, or you could just call it the carbon cycle. So fossil fuels do not create carbon, in case you're wondering. It's all a lie. They say, oh, fossil fuels produce carbon. No, they don't. Carbon's already there. That's why they're called hydrocarbons, because the carbon's already there. So basically, we're taking carbon that's been underground and then putting it into the atmosphere where it functions as plant food. It's good for rainforests. It's good for food crops. It's good for grasslands. It's good for deserts to try to regreen them. It's good for humans. It's good for animals. It's good for chickens and everything. So all we're doing is freeing the carbon to make it available to life on planet Earth. But Al Gore said that was bad. And a lot of people were totally convinced that that was completely bad to free carbon and to recycle carbon into the atmosphere. And that's why even to this day, a lot of people who are otherwise intelligent will say, oh, we have to support decarbonization. They use that term a lot. Decarbonization is necessary, they say. Well, we're made of carbon, you know? Carbon dioxide is plant food. It's made of carbon and oxygen. I mean, all the food crops are made of carbon. All the trees are made of carbon. If you want to decarbonize, you're talking about destroying all life on planet Earth, aren't you? Yep. And that's their goal, is to destroy all life on planet Earth and convince you to kill yourself by running these clever schemes. And here's another example. In some states, the power company is going to be able to take control of your thermostat and shut off your heat in the winter if there's too much demand, or shut off your air conditioning in the summer if there's too much demand. This is all designed to kill you, especially the elderly. You know, people with, quote, pre-existing conditions are also more fragile. And that's also who the mRNA vaccines are still allowed for, people who have pre-existing conditions. In other words, we're going to jab the most vulnerable to make sure they are killed first, because they're the ones on disability and Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security benefits, etc. So that's who's being killed off first with the vaccines, you know, high priority kill shots. But when the power companies control your thermostat, you know, they're just going to turn it off in the middle of the winter when you're freezing to death, you're running too many space heaters, and they can detect that with their smart meters and everything. And they realize, hey, you're using too much power. It's time to turn that off. So they turn it off, and then, you know, you're freezing to death because maybe you didn't plan to have sub-zero temperatures inside your house, you know, so you don't have the right sleeping bags or whatever. Doing the best you can. Some elderly will just freeze to death in the middle of the night. That's more depopulation. It's right on cue. It's exactly what they were hoping for, you see. So all of this is related to depopulation. They always try to trick you. So the number one thing that's important for you is to be a skeptical thinker. Make sure that you don't believe anything from any government ever. They always lie. Don't believe anything from any authority. They lie. They misrepresent. don't automatically believe anything from a science paper, even. It might be true. It might not be true. They might have fudged the data. They do it all the time. Don't automatically believe anything. Think for yourself. And if you want a research tool that helps you check everything, use our free AI engine. It's at Brighteon.ai. Just go there, Brighteon.ai, type that into your browser, you know, your URL line at the top, and just go to Brighteon.ai. You can ask Enoch anything you want. It's free to use, and, you know, it works great. And it'll answer your questions about climate, about vaccines, about depopulation agendas, everything. It's the perfect AI engine, and we built it that way on purpose. So check it out at Brighteon.ai. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for supporting us. Shop with us at healthrangerstore.com because we use your support to help build these multi-million dollar tools that we give away for free, like our AI engine, etc. So thank you for your support. Get informed. Be safe. You'll make it through all this. Not everybody will, but you will. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Clean hydration starts here. Our lab-verified electrolyte drops deliver key minerals your body needs. Sourced from Utah's Great Salt Lake with no junk added. Fuel your day at healthrangerstore.com.